Streaming 24/7.
Oh my God, it's better than I thought.
This is Radio Influence.
This is the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence. Your weekly glimpse inside all things Valor Fights, and a look at what's going on in the rest of the MMA community. Here are your hosts, the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy, and your color commentator, Casey Oxendine.
Welcome to the Valor Hour, a look into everything Valor Fights, as well as the headlines from combat sports across the world. Thanks for joining us, and please remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts as well as Stitcher. Also, a huge thanks to our tremendous sponsor, Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl, for supporting our cause each and every week. This week, it's all about the interviews as we speak with a great lineup of guests from Valor Fights 49 and beyond. Plus, we take a look at this week in the news. And as always, Valor Fights President Tim Loy will address your questions during the Valor Hour Q&A segment. I'm Casey Oxendine, and I am joined by the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy. Tim, we are a week out from Valor 49, and the show is picking up some steam.
Yeah, always excited to do events at the Shed there. It's a really cool venue, fun atmosphere, and should be a good fight card. We're excited. I'm excited to preview it more in depth next week.
Yeah, undoubtedly. And of course, we are also joined by one of our many mainstays. We're talking about the main man on the photographs, Alan Poole. Alan, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, man.
All right. Well, without further ado, let's get on into the news. And, of course, the big thing was UFC 223, Nurmagomedov versus Iaquinta. And, of course, that becomes Iaquinta just days before the event. Of course, all kinds of stuff going on with the Conor McGregor incident and so forth. Tim, talk about this event.
Man, what a circus. It gives me peace of mind, I guess, to know that it's not us, it's not just a shit show for us sometimes. You know, like that was like a microcosm of like lots of different, you know, fucked up things with this business all wrapped into one, you know, from the weight cutting to the shenanigans to, you know, lots of other things. I think it was, you know, four fights they ended up losing. They went from, even after we did the podcast last Wednesday, heck, if we'd waited 24 hours to do the podcast, we would have had a lot more stuff to talk about probably. But, you know, they lost four fights, you know, within about 24 hours. And that said, I thought the card still was okay. I mean, I thought it was still, you know, pretty exciting. You know, there were some good fights and they salvaged what they could with what they had. You know, the UFC was good at scrambling around and making do with what they had.
Well, it was pretty electric. Khabib with a win over Iaquinta. Iaquinta, of course, he fights his heart out. He goes the distance all five rounds. A tremendous showing for Iaquinta, Tim.
Yeah, his stock doesn't drop at all. You know, he's still probably going to get another big fight, probably a bigger fight than he would have had. Just even by losing this one and going the rounds and being game. But ultimately, you know, I think people wanted to see him do well. You know, you kind of want to root for the underdog and see somebody do something that is unexpected. But at the end of the day, you know, Khabib was still, you know, a very obvious winner.
Alan, you saw the fight. What were your thoughts? Some people are kind of giving criticism to Khabib because he didn't actually finish Iaquinta, and they expected him to sort of run through everybody like he's done everyone else, and that didn't happen here. Talk about your thoughts on the fight, and what do you think is, you know, how do you think Khabib looked in this one?
I thought Khabib looked great. I think that it was a landslide win. I know he wasn't getting the takedowns there towards the end, and he was playing it a little bit safe, but I mean, he's like, Khabib was still lighting him up with those jabs on the feet. So, like, what is my take on this? I think that Iaquinta had a rocky moment, and Rocky damn near, I mean, he had some rocky moments going on there. Like, I think he just stepped up and had the fight of his life. I think even like Ray Longo, his coach, was saying, like, they were just like, what the fuck's going on here, man? He just turned into Superman. He was like, I'm gonna do this, you know.
I think a lot of credit has to be given to Khabib, though, because at the end of the day, he had literally four different opponents in front of him on the week of the event. You know, within 7 days, he had four opponents, and at no point was he shaky on the fence or did it make it tough on anyone to negotiate. He was in no matter what, no matter who it was. So, you know, you got, just as, you know, Iaquinta stepped up on short notice, you know, Khabib also stepped up a new opponent on short notice, you know, over and over again. So, you know, props to him.
Well, let's look down the card. Of course, Rose Namajunas, she retains the UFC strawweight title. Renato Carneiro, he gets unanimous decision over Calvin Kattar. And then Zabit, man, one of the fights that everyone is talking about from this event.
Yeah, I thought there was a lot of good action fights. Zabit's going to be a star. That guy's got some flash to him and a little swag, and he's very good, you know. And I thought Kattar losing kind of shocked a few people because he'd come on and pulled some upsets and has been in some really exciting fights. But that boy Kano really, he really dominated him. I mean, it was pretty one-sided, honestly. And then, of course, the ladies put on another good fight, but you know, hats off to Rose. She proved it this time. You know, she's deserving.
Alan, any other last thoughts on this event?
Just Thug Rose, man. I think she says like it's the new era, man. I think that she is. I think she's going to be on top for a little while now.
Yeah, undoubtedly. All right. Well, that does it for the news. Let's move on into the Valor Hour Q&A segment. Of course, it's going to be Tim on the hot seat here. All the questions that you sent in. Tim, are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, Tim. First question. One word to describe UFC 223 Fight Week in New York.
Tumultuous.
Okay. Fair enough. Short and quick right there. Next question. If you're Dana White, where do you even begin with Conor McGregor? Business as usual, suspended, released? Where is it?
Oh, my. You know, there's a lot. There is, you know, the train of thought that the whole thing was a big PR stunt, you know, and that he that, you know, the UFC would be completely fine with this because of the eyes that it would get on the event. And, you know, upon the last 24 hours or so, I've been reading where, you know, Dana seems to be softening his stance somewhat on the whole situation. I would feel compelled, you know, to put some sort of disciplinary measure up because it's such a black eye. You know, the UFC most likely can turn this into a massive pay-per-view opportunity at the end of the day.
They're undoubtedly going to, yeah. Because nobody was talking about Conor and Khabib before. You know, they were talking about, well, that's the only natural fight. You know, we're like, well, we'll finally put them together. Now everybody's excited about it.
Yep.
So it makes perfect sense. All right. Next question. What are your thoughts on Khabib after his most recent fight? Is he really the best lightweight in the UFC? And who would you like to see him fight next?
I do think that he's the best lightweight. I mean, at the end of the day, like we said earlier, he was on his fourth opponent. He just because he didn't finish the guy. I mean, Iaquinta is good. You know, that guy's, he's tough. He's not easy to finish. None of these guys are easy to finish. So, you know, I didn't think that just because he didn't finish him that he lost any stock. He's still the man. And that's, you know, that's just like we said, that's the fight I want to see is Conor and him. I mean, yeah, fuck it. Yeah, I'm in. They got my money.
Yeah, for sure. Next question. Final question. Did you see Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania? Who are two Valor Fights vets that you'd want to see sign with the WWE?
Oh, that's a good one. I did, and she did great. I thought it was good. I thought it was they had a good match. It was exciting. I thought it was a great debut for her. As for what Valor guys would be good in WWE, I couldn't not say Chandler Cole. He'd kill me. You know, so I think he's a guy that, you know, he loves the business, first of all, and second of all, he is he's a showman, and he can dance, and he puts on a performance. I think he'd be a natural. As for a second one, man, that's tough. Man, that's a really hard one. I'm going to say for the second one, someone like Sid Wheeler would probably be good just because he's so flamboyant and so boisterous. He would probably be a good fit.
You know who I would have picked?
Who's that?
Tanner Saraceno.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. He's already got the training. He's more prepared than anyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, cool. Well, that does it for another Valor Hour Q&A segment. Remember, everyone, send in your questions, and Tim Loy will answer those right here on the air. And with that being said, it's time to move on to a great lineup of interviews. We are joined by Christina Roadhouse Ricker, rising WMMA standout, who prepares to face Megan Poe in the main event of next week's Fight Night at the Shed. Christina, thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure, Chris, to have you on the show. Of course, you're getting ready for another main event coming up next weekend in Maryville. You'll be taking on Megan Poe. You're no stranger to the main event. This will be, your third main event. And, you've been going out there and taking on some tough competition, you know, over your last, really, pretty much like 90% of all fights have been against like very, very tough competition. You know, you're going on the road, going to LFA, going to, Louisiana, finding the best competition you can find. And I've got to give you props because that's a really good way to, kind of hone your skills as you get ready to turn pro and know that you've seen every bit of, adversity that you can face as an amateur. Talk a little bit about that, you know, in your past few fights against some really tough competition, and then a little bit about what we can expect next weekend.
Absolutely. I guess I always like doing things the hard way. If I'm going to do something, it'll be the hardest route for sure. So I feel really blessed. I've faced like incredible competitors. My last couple of fights, traveling has been like eye-opening. Different states have different rules, like all that stuff. And since this is the first sport I've competed in, it just kind of gave me a taste of what it's going to be like, you know, as I get up into the upper levels and when I go pro. And WMA is definitely growing, but it's still a smaller pool. And I'm really excited that Megan's game, and we're going to get this fight on. I know we've tried to organize it in the past, but there's just not a whole lot of females to pull from. So it's cool to have one close to home. I'm excited about that. So people can come out and actually get to watch instead of watching online or on TV. But it's been a big learning process, and I'm really thankful for that. I would rather learn these lessons now than further in my pro career, for sure.
Got Megan Poe coming up next week at, again, like I said, a main event there for Valor 49. That's another competitor that's been in there really tough. You both have fought Fatini Candris, both to close decisions. You know, talk a little bit about her and what we can expect from this matchup, and any new wrinkles we can expect to see out of your game. I guess it's been, since we've seen you locally anyway, it's been, good 6, 7, 8 months now. So, any new wrinkles we can expect?
New wrinkles. I feel like I've been evolving. I recently took a trip out to California. My brother was getting married, but we also went down south into San Diego and trained with Alila McFarland down in San Diego Combat Academy in Milano out there. And so that was really cool and eye-opening to see a lot of other female competitors. They have a ton of amazing females at their gym, and it was just like super humbling and awesome. And it just kind of reminded me the tough females we have out in Tennessee as well. Like I said, I've seen Megan around and I've heard her name since I started getting into the fight scene. And so I've kind of followed her career, and I know she's a tough competitor. I remember seeing Fontini a couple fights back earlier this year, and we were talking about it because Fontini is amazing, and we stay in touch and chat and stuff, and she was talking about how tough Megan was. So I was like, okay, awesome, that would be a really good matchup. Sorry, can you hear my puppy playing with a toy? Come here. So I think it's going to be a really fun matchup. I hope it's brawly. I always hope there's blood, because if there's blood, that means it's war. I like it messy, so that's what I'm kind of hoping for.
Christina, we are also joined by Alan Poole, someone that you know very well. He's been, of course, he's photographed your fights, but he's also been over there to KMAA to get a few shots as well. Alan, how you doing tonight? Do you have any questions or comments for Christina?
Well, yeah, of course. Hey, what's up, Chris? How you doing?
Hey, Alwyn. Good to hear from you.
Yes, it's great to hear from you. So, Chris is also, like, there's, like, this small group of women, female fighters, that are, like, my favorite people on earth, and Chris is one of them. So I just want to just throw that out there. She lets me take pictures of her. Even when I was terrible, she still let me take pictures. I feel like it's kind of like an old friend on the phone right now. But I wanted to ask you something, Chris. So the last time I saw you, I think was at Valor 48, and you just came over just to say hi. And did you remember when I was looking at you like really suspiciously? Because I was like, is she really just saying, because like, if we go back to what you're saying earlier about the whole war thing and you're hoping it's blood and all that, see, that's always in the back of my mind. And so when you came up to me and put your paw out there, I was like, what if she just calls me a bitch and slaps me? Like, is it?
I mean, I can't say I haven't thought about it to some
extent. I wasn't
like, I can't say this is road rage. I kind of road rage. I don't like waiting in line. So I do think those things, but not you, Alwyn. Not if I know you.
Okay. I was just wondering that, if you're wondering why I seemed like a little bit weirded out, that's why I was like, is this a trick? But no, okay. All right. So I'll know that from going forward.
So this will be your first time getting to fight at the Shed, I believe. You were there for the fights that we had last year. It's a really cool festive atmosphere. You're excited to kind of fight outside without fighting outside, really.
Yeah, I am. My first fight ever was in the parking lot at the Harley-Davidson.
That's right.
Up near Turkey Creek. And I actually really love fighting outside. I was like, yeah, it's like a brawl, like, you know, behind the bar, like when you get in a fight, like for real.
That's awesome.
So I know the Shed's much classier than that. It's not like a behind the bar fight. But it is a really fantastic venue. I think the weather's going to be perfect. I'm so excited to get family and friends out there. Just with vendors and drink and food, all of that. It makes it for a really, really fun atmosphere and kind of more laid back. And I feel people really get into the fights when they have like an opportunity to be a little more laid back.
Sure.
Well, Christina, you're talking about all your friends and family there. You just mentioned them. You know, go ahead and give some shout outs where they're due. You know, obviously, all your teammates, your friends, and everyone that supported you. And also, once again, and as always, all of those social media plugs, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, so forth, where we can find you and follow you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Facebook, it's Christina Roadhouse Ricker MMA page, and it's shared consistently, so you should be able to find that pretty easy, or just search my name, Christina Ricker. Instagram is Christina_Ricker, also pretty easy. It's just the name. I guess nobody else has that name, but it was never taken anywhere. Sponsors-wise, oh, my goodness. I say it every time, and I feel blessed to have the best sponsors. I have very few because I'm really picky, and I like supporting phenomenal people. So my personal training obviously comes from Frankie's Body Shop, my strength and conditioning coach, Chloe Padilla. She kicks my butt daily. I don't know if I can swear.
Yes. Yes, you can.
So she kicks my ass every day. And it's amazing, and I am so ever thankful for them. And an amazing place to work out. I give them a plug as my strength and conditioning, but like Frankie's is an actual gym where you don't have to have a personal trainer, but you can go and get a membership. Like it's a gym where everybody can go, not if you're just a fighter. So throwing that out there for anybody who needs a gym. 75 Clothing is my clothing sponsor. They also make all my t-shirts and they make my banners. And they are just phenomenal to work with. Wally's an amazing artist. Just from knowing me, just to get to know me and talking with me, that's how he created my shirt and like my banner. That was just him getting to know his athletes, which is really cool. Fancy Paws is one I picked up actually from Minnesota, is a groomer, a dog groomer out in Minnesota. And they're still one of my sponsors. So that's really cool. I really love having them on. Tim and Sue do a phenomenal work. And then recently I just picked up Parkway Auto Sales. And they're supporting several athletes in the gym. I think actually everybody who's fighting on the card, they're sponsoring. So we really appreciate them as well.
Christina Roadhouse Ricker returns to action next Friday, April 20th. as she headlines Fight Night at the Shed number 2. Christina, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
We are joined by Jacob Clemens, the current Valor Fights flyweight MMA champion, and he prepares to return to action next Friday, April 20th at Fight Night in the Shed, as he faces Walter McCord for the Valor Fights flyweight Muay Thai title. Jacob, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
No, thank you guys for having me. I'm super excited about it.
We appreciate the time, my man. You know, it's been right about, not quite a year, but almost a year since the last time we saw you. You beat Diego Bautista the last time we were actually at the Shed. So this will be, you know, your first time back, and you'll be fighting at a really cool venue that you got to experience last time as well. Talk a little bit about what you've been doing in this past year since we've seen you in action. Have you been training steady, improving your skills? Did you take some time off? You know, what's been going on?
I took a little bit of time off. Of course, after the Diego fight, pretty tough fight. I managed to get the win, but, you know, it was, just took a little time to rest, let my body recover. But since then, you know, just steadily training, getting better, get the fight back at the Shed again. It was an awesome venue last time. I'm sure it'll be just as awesome this time. I'm just super excited for next week.
So you've got Walter McCord in front of you, and it's been a while since you've done a straight kickboxing fight. I believe probably around about 2 years, give or take, if I had to guess. But before then, you stayed pretty active in kickboxing and undefeated, had our title there before you hunkered down and did more MMA for a couple years. Are you excited to get back in there, just to throw strikes? And, you know, now we've been able to advance to where we don't have to have the headgear there for you advanced guys, so it won't be as cumbersome there with the headgear on, you know?
Yeah, I guess definitely exciting. I think the last time I did a kickboxing fight was one of the shows at the International in, like, 2016. But, I mean, it's a little bit different, you know, just doing straight striking. To me, it's more fun. I think it's 3 2-minute rounds, so you got a little less time to prove your point. So usually the pace is a lot higher, which I like. It suits me. It's going to be a different experience, but I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Well, Jacob, you're facing Walter McCord, who is considered to be a prodigy out of the X3 gym, and he's kind of come out of nowhere and has developed. What do you know about him, and what is your strategy going into the fight?
I mean, I watched a few of his fights. You know, he's a tough kid for sure. You know, comes out of, I believe it's X3 in Atlanta, and I mean, I've seen some of his fights. I mean, that's a tough kid. I mean, especially at only 18 years old, he's an up-and-comer. He's hungry. That's awesome, but I'm going to put him to the test. As far as I've seen, you know, he's been able to push the pace in all of his fights, but, you know, I'm going to go in there, put some pressure on him, and I'm going to see what he's made of. And I'm definitely looking forward to, you know, tough kid. I want tough opponents. I'm not in this to take easy fights. So it's going to be a good time. I promise you that.
Well,
I've got one of these new pimp white shiny belts waiting on one of you guys, man. So I'm excited to strap it on one of you guys, and I think it's going to be a high action fight. We've got it as the co-main event. We normally don't put Thai fights that high on the card, but we know that this one will be really good. And I got to say, you know, Jacob's a guy that in the past it was easier to match him because he's such an unassuming fellow, you know. He's a real nice guy, and he doesn't come across as the badass that he is, but it's gotten harder over the past couple of years because people are starting to realize, hey man, this kid is solid. He's a good prospect. So while Jacob looks maybe younger than his years, and he has certainly got a lot of experience, and he's been fighting actively now for 4 or 5 years, so he's certainly not a guy you can sleep on.
Yeah, let me jump on here real quick. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, Jacob. This is Alan Poole, man. What's up?
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, man. So, I had to hit you up and ask you. I'm not trying to, kiss your ass or whatever, but so, I go around to the different gyms, and mostly the KMAA, on Fridays and take photographs. And I notice different people's work ethics, right? So I noticed you have, like, a for real work ethic. Like, you really you get after it. You don't just step it up, like, when you see a camera or whatnot. You know, like, I can tell the difference. So I was wondering, like, what you attributed your work ethic to. Like, where'd you get that from?
I mean, I I really don't know. I probably developed it during high school wrestling. You know, my wrestling coach, my sophomore and junior year, he really put into that. I mean, it's an overall desire. Like, I'm not doing this as, you know, a hobby. You know, I want this, you know, to be my livelihood one day. And when you want that, when you want to make money at it, you want to make a living at it, you have to want it. Like, right now, as soon as I get off the phone with you guys, I'm going to sleep to wake up in the morning and go to the gym. Pretty much my life revolves around, I go to the gym, I go to work all day, I go to the gym again, I come home, I get ready for the next day through the week. The weekend I might be able to, you know, switch up a little bit, but I mean, you know, like I said, when you want something as bad as I want this, you know, you make the sacrifice you want, and you know that you need to put in the work every single time that you step into a gym, which is what I try to do.
Well, Jacob, real quick, and we'll let you jump off the phone and get that rest. Real quick, go ahead and give some shout-outs where they're due, all your training partners, teammates, and friends and family, everyone that supports you along this journey, as well as give us all of your social media plugs where we can find you and follow you.
First, I want to thank my team, my coaches at Kings. Thank you guys so much. The guys at KMA, Eric and Joey, they're awesome. My strength and conditioning coach, Shamir, with Marvel My Fitness. I'm telling you, if you need to get in shape and you're in the Knoxville area, please look her up. She's amazing. You know, I want to thank my friends, my family for supporting me during this. We're about to go into weight cut mode, so that is not always the easiest thing. Sponsors, Tactical Medical League, Todd Spence, been the man, been with me since I was 17. I actually made my kickboxing debut. Combat Corner, they hooked me up with some pretty cool stuff. Little Valley Haven, all natural soaps, lotions, whatever you need, check them out. Walter McCord, I appreciate you taking the fight, boss. I look forward to meeting you and, you know, getting in there and mixing it up with you.
Jacob Clemens returns to action next Friday, April 20th, as he co-headlines Fight Night at the Shed, Valor Fights 49. Jacob, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you guys for having me.
We are joined by Aaron Phillips as he prepares to head into Fight Night at the Shed. That's Valor Fights 49 next Friday, April 20th, as he faces Chase Wender. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem, Casey.
Thank you for the time, man. And I believe this is your first time on the Valor Hour. Is this your first time we've had you on?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, then let's get you started with a little intro, and I'll let you tell our listeners out there a little bit about yourself, your training, your background in any sort of sports or competition, and just kind of, you know, a little short bio on Aaron Phillips.
Well, I grew up in a small town, Chilhowee, Virginia, and grew up wrestling all my life. Ever since kindergarten, I've been wrestling. Played football, baseball, and just growing up, never really had MMA. Wrestling was the closest thing we had, and then moved up here to Johnson City, and I met up with Dustin Long, and he started D3, and started training a lot with them, and then just started fighting, and I mean, I loved it. So.
Well, you're coming off of two straight wins in a row now, a little bit of a rocky start early in your amateur career, but now you started to turn things around. It looks like you've won two in a row, including a submission. And people, if you listen to the podcast, I'm sure you go like, these motherfuckers must think that I have nothing on the ground whatsoever, because that's usually when we're analyzing your fights, we'll be like, man, he's really tough, he's strong, good striking, but he seems to find himself in submissions a lot. But you started to turn that around, getting a submission of your own in this last one. Talk a little bit about anything that's changed. You know, has there been anything that's changed in your training? Have you just started to focus more on jiu-jitsu, or has it just been one of those things where, you know, it's just been fluky thing? You got caught, you were good on the ground the whole time, you just happened to get caught in those fights, and you didn't really need to turn anything around.
I mean, I'm good on the ground aspect wrestling. I have been working a lot of jiu-jitsu, trying to get that up, because I, like you said, I've been caught with a lot of submissions. And we've been training to turn that around. Been working on my stand-up a lot because I am strong. I am pretty big. So we've been working a lot of striking, a lot of jiu-jitsu, trying to implement the wrestling. So trying to get that to work out for me.
Well, you've got to. Go ahead, Casey.
Well, I was going to say, let's talk a little bit about your upcoming opponent, Chase Wender, because to me it's very interesting because both of you guys were in action back at Strikefest, this last outing at Strikefest, and you both got wins on that card. And so I'm sure you got a bird's eye view of Chase. He's a guy that came up through the ranks of Valor Fights back in the day, and then he took a little hiatus. He was gone for a while, and then he just returned back. Now, you're on a two-fight win streak. He's, you know, got that victory on his return. Talk about what your thoughts are on on Chase himself as a fighter and how this matchup kind of plays out.
He's a good fighter, and from what I hear, he's a good, well-rounded fighter. So I mean, it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a fun one. It's going to be exciting, and I can't wait. I can't wait for it.
This is one of those that I know will deliver because both of you guys are come forward action fighters. On paper, Chase probably comes across as a bit more technical, but you're the bigger guy. You know, you're all doing this fight at 160. You fought as high as 185. Chase has fought as low generally as 145. So do you expect your size to play a factor here, do you think that'll be kind of not a real big a big issue?
I think it'll play a factor. I hit hard for where I stand, about 155. I hit, 160 for this one. I hit hard, and I'm always getting hit by bigger guys in the gym. You know, most of our guys over at D3 are 200-plus. That I spar with and wrestle and grapple with every day. And like you said, we're both come forward fighters. I mean, I'm going to stay in his face, so I'm going to try to wear him out.
And you know, both guys are going to be very motivated because both guys are one fight under 500. So a chance to even their records up for both guys. And I expect, both y'all to come out really, really hungry for this one.
Oh yes, we're both gonna come. It's gonna be a dog fight. It's gonna be a fun one. Get the crowd going. It's gonna be exciting. Nobody gonna want to miss this.
We are also joined by Alan Poole. He's here with us, and he takes all the photographs there at a lot of the events, of course, at Strikefest, and you see him at Valor Fights as well. Alan, any questions or comments for Aaron Phillips?
Yeah, the thing that struck me is you said you started training wrestling at 5. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I was an athlete when I was really young, right? I started swimming when I was 4, right? Like started racing when I was 4. And the thing is like, what was it like that, who grabbed you and put you in wrestling?
I was always physical growing up. I was always getting in a lot of trouble. And, one of my football coaches was actually a wrestling coach, and he pretty much took me under his wing and told me to come wrestle for him. And I didn't have a dad growing up because he passed away when I was younger, so I always had father figures living around me in a little small town. So I mean, everybody got together to do something, and wrestling's real big in Chihuahua.
Okay. Yeah, all right, man, that's cool. I was just curious.
Well, real quick, Aaron, I'm going to give you the opportunity to give some shout outs where they're due. Of course, you've already mentioned your team, but you know, all the friends, family, everyone that has helped you, motivated you to continue forward in this journey. Also, we need all of your social media plugs, all the places that we can find you and follow you.
Really, the only place to follow me right now would be on Facebook, and it's under Aaron Phillips. I got to get an Instagram and stuff, but give a shout out to my wife and my kids. I mean, they're strong supporters of me. My kids, they won't let me give up. And then all my sparring partners, you got Caleb Frank coming up there to fight with me, Gary Paul, Dustin Long, Big Mike, all of them, Ivan Mendez, give all them shout outs for helping me with this fight.
All right, Aaron Phillips returns to action next Friday, April 20th at Valor Fights 49 Fight Night at the Shed. Get your tickets now. You don't want to miss it. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all.
We are joined by 2-1 mixed martial artist, Randall Austin, who prepares to face Javier Cavajal next Friday, April 20th, as part of Fight Night at the Shed, Valor Fights 49. Randall, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, we appreciate the time, man. This being, I believe, your first time on the Valor Hour, we usually like to let first-timers give our listeners a little bit of a rundown on your background up to now. So, give us a little synopsis of Randall Austin, your background and training, any kind of experience you've had leading up to now, and just a quick little rundown.
I started wrestling in high school. Actually, I only wrestled 2 seasons of high school wrestling. I didn't wrestle my senior year for little personal reasons, but I got back into doing a judo over to Johnson City Judo Club, and met some guys over there that turned over at Casey's Gym, and basically I just went over there just to do jiu-jitsu and then started doing kickboxing, and then here we are now, just training mixed martial arts and having fun, having a blast.
Well, we've seen you speaking of kickboxing, we've seen you're an undefeated in Muay Thai fights as well. This will be an MMA bout, and it'll be your, the last one coming back in January. You got a first-round stoppage over Jay Vernon to move to 2-1, and now you're going to be taking on a tough one, Javier Cavajal. That'll be your debut, though, of 135 pounds, and that's going down here in just about a week and a half, in Maryville next weekend. Talk a little bit about, talk a little bit about your last win, fighting in the Coliseum in Knoxville, probably the biggest event you'd fought on to date. And then talk a little bit about what we can expect coming up in this matchup with Javier, who is a wrestler by trade, wrestled collegially there, I believe, at Cumberland. The last time you went in against a decorated wrestler was your loss. And so, if anything, have you tweaked anything to kind of buckle down, on that takedown defense, or, has it been business as usual leading into this match with Cavajal next week? And also talk a little bit about going to 135 for the first time. Is it a tough cut on you so far? Or is it too early to know, or is it going pretty smooth?
For the first question for Jay Vernon, I had a fun time at the Coliseum, man. I mean, also my brother fought that night as well, and that was a blast to watch my brother fight at the Coliseum. The energy was great. I had a fun time. I had a fun time with my family afterwards. It was amazing. The second question, Javier. I expect it to be a dogfight, actually. I mean, I've been working on my takedown defense, and he might take me down a couple of times, but I'm going to get right back up and, slug it back at him. So, he should be ready for that. And for the third question, my weight cut's doing fine. I think it'll be smooth. I don't think it'll be hard at all.
But I've got to say, going into this one, you've already been in there with some really tough guys. You've been, in there between MMA and Thai. You've been in there already 5 times at least. And for Cavajal, this will only be his second bout and most definitely a big jump into the deep end as far as level of competition compared to what he saw in his first one. So not try to make it out like you're an underdog because he's a wrestler, because this is definitely a big step up in competition for him more than anything.
Yes, I just feel like that he's just because he has like 1 fight doesn't mean anything. I mean, he's still come out and fight me pretty well, so I'm not undermining him at all. I'm just I'm coming in like he's better than me, but I feel like I'm better than him, so my confidence is good.
Well, real quick, Randall, go ahead and give some shout outs where they're due. Of course, all your friends and family, you've got a huge fan base that stretches all the way from the Tri-Cities into Knoxville. Bring those guys up. And then also give us your social media plugs, all the places we can find you and follow you.
My Instagram is at Randall Samurai. Twitter is same, at Randall Samurai. I like to give a shout out to Jonathan Pierce, JSP, for being such an awesome training partner. my brother Corey Austin, everyone at Team Oxendine, Preston Schick, James Cody, Logan Hilton, Paco Maris, and the list goes on. Also, shout out to the Tennessee School for the Deaf for always supporting me whenever I go over to Knoxville. Thank you for that.
Randall Austin returns to action next Friday, April 20th, as part of Fight Night at the Shed. Randall, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We are joined by Chris the Action Man Curtis, the current CES MMA welterweight champ, who we saw in action last Friday night at CES 49. He comes home with a clear-cut victory over Jason Norwood and continues forward on his tremendous career. Chris, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Man, it's our pleasure to have you. Thanks for the time. For listeners that aren't familiar, Chris Curtis, 18-5, as Casey said, just defended the CES title for the second time, the big victory over Jason Norwood. And in my opinion, and probably the opinion of many, probably the top fighter that is still not signed to the UFC. You know, talk a little bit about that, Chris. First off, talk a little bit about this last fight. You know, it was a decision. You showed off your boxing. And I will say that, you know, I've always thought highly of you, but I think it was probably the Will Santiago fight where I just kind of took notice, like, man, this guy's really got his shit together. Like this, like there's no, I don't see weak points. It's all just, it's like to another level. Is that attributed to maybe that move out there to Team Quest?
Man, it's a, moving to Quest has been, you know, probably the best thing I could have done for my career. It's just, you know, you reach a point back home, you know, at home where you're comfortable and you're, you know, a big fish in a small pond. So I had to get uncomfortable to get better after the Bilal Muhammad loss. So I came out here, and now there's a very, very, I'm not in the pond anymore. I'm in an ocean, and, you know, it's either fight the sharks or die. So I'm getting just the level of training and partners and coaching and everything is just insane. So I got no choice but to get better. If I don't, they will literally kill me.
So is it the UFC that you are, you know, focused on first and foremost? There's also word that you're talking about possibly moving to pro boxing this year. Is that, but you know, in lieu of the UFC, is it something where, you know, it's like you just want to stay busy if you're not where you want to be? Talk about that a little bit.
Well, for me, man, like I got into MMA with the goal to be in the UFC, and, you know, shows have come and gone. The UFC's still there. So, my goal, you know, has always been the UFC. It was pro boxing, but I started out boxing when I was younger. I still love it. It's my first love. So, if I've done everything I can think of to get in the UFC, you know, I've got a resume that I want to like sound, I want to be sound like I'm arrogant. I have a resume that's a lot higher, a lot more, prestigious, if you will, than a lot of guys that are fighting right now. If I can't get my shot, I don't want to be like 33, 34 waiting for a shot. So, you know, I'd rather switch to boxing. I love boxing still. I love the sport. So I'd rather focus on that full time and see where that takes me as opposed to, you know, doing everything I'm supposed to do, but still never getting a shot.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think is, you know, ultimately the holdup there? You know, you're right at 18-5, and you know, I don't see any. I mean, for the past 3 years, looking at your record here, you fought nothing but quality opponents. You beat Nashawn Burrell, even though, in my opinion, you know, I thought that one was taken from you. But same time, even discounting that one, you know, you really haven't fought any layups. You fought tough guys, good records, all, you know, the kind of things that generally the UFC will argue that, you know, they want to see from you. Like, what's the snag?
I think it's just the face of the game's changing, honestly. Like, you know, they need their franchise guys. They want these younger kids with undefeated records. It doesn't really matter how they got in there. Remember, like, a year ago, that kid from Explode Fight Series was like 18-0. He had all of his fights to explode, but you look at the guy's record and the guy's fighting guys, you know, 18 fights with a guy who was like 0-17. Like, yeah. They like the numbers. They're not looking really into they're not looking into what's going into those numbers. They're just seeing the numbers and saying, okay. And, you know, I think I kind of missed the boat on that, to where when I was coming up and I was under guys, it was you busted your ass, you worked hard. And like the toughest guys got their call, and now it's a little bit more of a, they're looking for franchise players and guys to build from that level. So it's just bad timing, man, like bad timing, and it's who you know. So I had to do, I had to do it the hard way. So we're just biting down and just doing it the old fashioned way. And then trying to keep grinding out wins and beating people up. And hopefully eventually they'll be like, well, maybe we're missing out.
Well, we are also joined by Alan Poole here. He takes a lot of the photographs at Valor Fights. So if you check out the Valor Fights page, you see some really cool shots.
I've
He's the one that's usually behind the camera.
Seen his stuff.
Yeah.
I've seen his stuff. I've looked through all of his stuff.
Alan, any words for Chris Curtis?
Yeah, man. Well, first of all, what's up, man? So something that comes through in the pictures, like to me, is like I can usually pick out someone that was a boxer, right? Someone that I don't know if that makes sense or not, but like I can tell from their stance and from their head movement and stuff. I can just it comes through in the pictures.
You've been around fights for a while, so especially as a photographer too, you've got the eye. Like, yeah, I think you see tendencies in people, like where they came from. That's the same thing coaches do. When you look at a guy's film, you can see what he's comfortable with and where he came from. I get you.
Well, my question is, like, how much of an advantage is that? You know, like having that, because I can see certain fighters just like make other ones look stupid with their boxing. So like where do you draw the line between boxing and the wrestling and guarding the takedowns?
Here's my thing. Like for me, I think anyone who comes into the sport from a singular discipline has an advantage. Like, I think wrestling is by far the greatest advantage, being able to dictate where the fight goes. But like with me, with boxing, being so comfortable boxing, I think that's an advantage. I can, at times dictate where this fight takes place, because like, honestly, every fight starts standing. And like with my last fight, if I make you spend the energy to get me down and you can't hold me down, I pop back up. You start you get afraid to close that gap. You get afraid to commit. And then as a boxer, that's great for me, because if I can make you afraid to close that gap, I make the takedown almost disappear. And like, nobody wants to risk a takedown when you're getting lit up, your body's getting hit. So for me, it's hard sometimes. Team Quest, believe me, being a bunch of wrestlers, Dan Hendo and these guys have gotten me to help fix a problem I used to have, to where I would box too much and I would neglect my wrestling, to where now I'm a wrestle boxer, really. I do nothing but wrestling and boxing and jiu-jitsu, so they've definitely helped fix that line. But for a long time in my career, I was really bad about overcommitting on my boxing. And this fight, we had a beautiful game plan, a beautiful camp about, blending my boxing with my wrestling and using them to complement each other. And it felt great, man. But like, it's a huge advantage, I think.
So what's coming up next? Your next boxing match set, or is it MMA next, or, what's next on the horizon?
There is nothing on paper yet, on concrete yet. We're trying to shopping around, hoping to hear from the UFC. Right now, I just got back Saturday to California. Sam Alvey's got a fight coming up. I got a couple other guys in the gym who got stuff coming up. My boy Sean Strickland has his UFC fight coming up in Brazil, so I'm going with him for that. So right now I'm getting back in shape, because I'm going to be training with him and out in Brazil with him. So right now, just staying in shape, getting back in the grind, helping everybody else out, and we're going to see what just falls in my lap. I'm not going to worry about it right now. I just fought. I feel good. I'm healthy. So we should get right back to the gym, and we'll just see what materializes.
Chris, real quick, I'm going to give you the opportunity to go ahead and give some shout-outs where they're due. Of course, your friends and teammates and family and so forth. Man, I'll tell you, I remember you from way back in the day, back there in the beginning, when Slaughterhouse with Chris Smith and the whole crew, and it's been a long journey, and I'm very excited to see you take it to the next level. Go ahead and give some shout outs where they're due, and also fill us in on your social media plugs, all those places we can find you and follow you.
Yeah, man, you guys can find me pretty much everywhere. So, Facebook at Chris Curtis or Chris the Action Man Curtis. Find me on Twitter and, Instagram, I'm the Action Man 513. As always, big shout out to my friends and teammates, the Team Quest and the Son of Siam back home. I couldn't do that, you guys, but this camp had a really big shout out to Sam Alvey, first of all. He's like a big brother to me, and he's definitely helped bring me along. He does everything for me. I live in his freaking house. A big shout out to Alex Zarate, one of my coaches out here. Zarate's a shaman. He put this game plan together for me, and he beat these things into me that worked out wonderfully. I couldn't have done it without him. Thank you. Thanks to my family and kids back home. I love you guys. I miss you, and I'll see you soon. And I mean, just thanks, y'all. Thanks for the support. And I got so much support and love from the fans. Thank you guys. Like, you can, like, meet. This is the most media I've ever gotten in my entire career. I'm 10 years in. And, you know, you guys have really gotten behind me, tried to get my face out there, my name out there. And, like, you know, all you guys are out here supporting me, doing articles, having me do interviews, man. I appreciate it. Like, this is the stuff that gets me to the next level. So I just want to say thanks to all you guys, man. Like, I, you know, when I get there, you guys will definitely be the ones that have propped me up. So thanks a lot. And I love you guys.
Chris, the Action Man Curtis is the CES welterweight champ as he continues to ascend through the ranks of mixed martial arts and beyond. Chris, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
That's it for another great lineup of interviews, as well as another episode of the Valor Hour. Huge thanks to our great lineup of guests for your tremendous insight and discussion. Remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts as well as Stitcher, and please share this broadcast. We return right here next week as we continue our discussion on the biggest combat sports news from across the globe. A shout out to Ogle, Elrod, and Burrell for their tremendous support. And for myself, Casey Oxendine, and Valor Fights President Tim Lloyd, this has been the Valor Hour.
For more information on upcoming events, visit ValorFights.com. Or find them at Valor Fights on both Facebook and Twitter. This has been the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Burrell on Radio Influence. This is an MMA Insider's Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
I've known for about 3 months that he was going to WWE. It was not a well-kept secret within the wrestling industry. But I, you know, I couldn't say anything because I was sworn to secrecy. You know, but Bobby is now in WWE, and I don't know if he has any fights left under his Bellator deal. I think maybe he has one at most. But I was told that once he was in WWE, that would effectively end his career in Bellator. So, you know, he may not be able to fight outside of Bellator and MMA, but while he is with WWE, you will not see him compete for Bellator. That's why you haven't seen him in the past several months. That's why he wasn't involved in the heavyweight tournament, and you're not going to see him in Bellator as long as he's with WWE. And I can tell you this, if he is able to get out of his Bellator deal, if he's already free somehow, or he will be free in the future, there is a very real possibility we will see Bobby Lashley also in the octagon, similar to how we see Brock Lesnar occasionally in the octagon.
The MMA Insiders can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and RadioInfluence.com.